When I was a little boy, we used to play a game called Follow the Leader. Loved that game. You pick a leader, and whoever that leader was, you had to follow him. You had to follow him wherever he went. If he went outside, if he went up a tree, if he went down a hill, you had to follow him wherever he went. And you had to do whatever he did. If he jumped up and down, if he did somersaults, if he just stood really still, you had to follow the leader. It's a simple, fun game, but it's not always easy, because sometimes the leader does things that we don't want to do. Sometimes we can't do it. We feel like we've failed. And we're going to look here in the next couple of weeks, beginning a series today called Tips for a Follower. We're going to learn some lessons about following specifically Jesus from some of the earlier followers of Jesus. And so we're going to look in Luke chapter 5 today. But have you ever felt like a failure? Have you ever felt like your best was not good enough? Have you ever felt like that you really, really tried, but you just failed? And I've had that plenty of times. When I was young, when I was a high school senior, my goal when I graduated from high school was to study to be a pastor, and I was going to go to a Bible college. All my friends were going to Springfield, Missouri. Springfield was called the Queen of the Ozark Mountains, and I don't know how much of a queen it was, but I did not want to go to Springfield, Missouri. I found another college in Southern California called Pacific Coast Baptist Bible College. That's where I wanted to go. Sunny beaches, sun. That's where I wanted to go. So I sat out my first semester so I could make enough money so that I could buy a car to get me there. I was going to drive because I want to have a car. If I'm going to be in Southern California, I want to have a car to drive. And so I saved up some money, needed a paint job, paid for the paint job. I got it back. It was late fall, and I got it back. And I had to go pick up my mother from teaching night school, went down to a major intersection in Middletown, Ohio, was going to make a left, pulled out into traffic, and heard a screech and a bang. Lady hit me right in the side. It was night, and she didn't have her lights on. She came from a parking lot, and she didn't even know that she didn't have her lights on. However, they cited me for the ticket because I could not prove that she didn't have her lights on, and I did not yield to traffic. So it cost me a ticket, plus it cost me my car. And so I didn't have enough money to get another car to go to Southern California. I only had enough money to buy an airline ticket to Springfield, Missouri. So I flew down there, and my first day down there, I found out who my roommates were, and one of my roommates was from Southern California. He came all the way in just to go to that school. But I just felt like this is stupid. Why did I do this? I had a plan. I was going to do something. But why is it working out this way? Well, we're going to discover sometimes that our failures are not necessarily failures. Sometimes it opens up a door for God to do something even greater. We discover that in the life of Simon Peter, the fisherman. He was a failure, but God turned it into a success. So let's look at some of the tips here for being a follower of Jesus. We're in Luke chapter 5. I'll read the first 11 verses here for you and explain them as we go. It says in verse 1, It came to pass that as the people were pressed upon Jesus, to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Genesaret, that's the lake of Galilee, and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them, and they were washing their nets. He entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, that's Simon Peter. This was Simon's name, is Simon Peter, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. When he had left speaking, he said to Simon, Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. And when they had this done, and they enclosed a great multitude of fishes in their net break. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Peter spent all night, caught nothing, ended up side of his ship, his boat there, and Jesus used it for a little bit, sent him out, and they caught so many fish they couldn't even hold them. And after it was all over, Simon Peter and James and John, it says, forsook all and followed him. They left everything and decided they would follow Jesus anywhere. They became a follower of Jesus. So this is the theme of what this lesson is all about. And that is, surrender all, follow the call. That's what we need to do. That's what Peter did. Surrender it all and follow the call. So say it with me, just to keep us awake here, okay? Say this with me. Surrender all, follow the call. Surrender all, follow the call. It has two parts. First of all, surrender. To surrender. To, in the words of Frozen, to let it go. To just let what we have go. That's what Peter did. It is interesting, the story. Jesus told him, when he got there, he says, I want you to launch out of the deep and let down the nets. Plural. Peter said, we've caught nothing, but at thy word, I will let down the net. Singular. Jesus knew what he's going to do. He said, I want you to let down the nets, all of them. Let down all the nets. Peter said, okay, I'll let down one. Jesus wants us to let go of everything, to give it all to him, so that he can bless us, to let down all the nets. We also find out that he challenged him in his strength. Did you notice what Peter was doing here? He was fishing. He was a professional fisherman. What was Jesus? He was a carpenter. What did he know about fishing? The professional had spent all night, and here comes Jesus and says, you know what? Let's go out one more time, and let's see what we can do. I'll bet you'll catch a bunch of fish. It would be like me going to LeBron James and saying, hey, let me show you how to play basketball. No. But Peter ended up catching so many fish that they couldn't even hold them all. And sometimes Jesus asks us for our strengths. We think we know what we ought to do, but sometimes God allows us to be a failure so that we can realize that our best is not good enough. But his best through us always is. So God wants to use our strength, and he will challenge us in our strength. We also find out his reaction is, after this was all over, you would think on his maybe greatest day of fishing that he would be bragging a little bit about how many fish he caught. But notice what he did. He fell down at Jesus' knees and he said, depart from me, I am so sinful. He realized the vast difference between him and Jesus. There was an utter humility, a total surrender to Jesus. And that's what we must do, to surrender our life to Jesus. If you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, you do not know the joy there is in that. What we need to do, I say it like this, it's ABC. Admit that we're a sinner. Believe that Jesus Christ and who he is and what he has done by dying on the cross. And then commit our life to him, to surrender our life to him. If you've never trusted Jesus, I invite you to do that. And if you have trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I invite you to surrender your life to him, to continue to surrender your life. But it's not just surrender. It is also to follow him. Jesus told them that they would catch men if they did this. And Peter and James and John all decided to follow Jesus. They decided to follow him. But I want you to notice, the story really majors on Simon Peter, doesn't it? It talks about him all through here. But he's not alone. He's with James and John. But the focus is on one guy. And it reminds me that following Jesus isn't a group activity. It's individually. It doesn't matter what everybody else does. Are you following Jesus? It doesn't matter what anybody else doesn't do. Are you following Jesus? Are you doing what God wants you to do? Are you going where Jesus wants you to go? It's an individual responsibility. It's an individual response. And that's what it needs to continue to be. And it's step by step. Jesus didn't come right out and do all this at one time. Notice the first thing he talked to Peter about. Can I get in your boat so I can teach? Yeah, go ahead, get in my boat. Now let's launch out into the deep. Now, Jesus takes us step by step. Following Jesus, we don't always know what we're going to be doing days and weeks ahead. Sometimes it's just a step by step following Jesus. So all we need to do is just take that next step. We don't even always know where that step's going to land, but just to follow Jesus. And this is not the only time there was this kind of a conversation with Peter. We find out from the Gospel of Matthew that Jesus has already talked to them once. He came up to them and he simply said, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." And at that point, these same men, they left their nets and began to follow Jesus. Well, evidently, they followed Jesus for a little while and then they went back to fishing. And we find out what's interesting is even after Jesus died on the cross and he rose again, we find out that the Bible says in John's Gospel that they went back to fishing again. And Jesus met him again and Jesus challenged him again. Following Jesus isn't always consistent on our side. Sometimes we're following really good and sometimes we're just backing off and stepping back a little bit. Sometimes we're going really good and sometimes we're just getting out of the way a little bit. And following Jesus isn't always a clean path that we're doing it. But you know what I've discovered is that when we follow Jesus and we get off the path or we go back to what we used to be doing, that he's there waiting for us to get back on the path till we realize, you know what, I need to get back. I need to get back to following Jesus. So whether or not you've been following him really, really good and really, really close and you've been challenged with that, or whether or not you've kind of drifted away and you're not really following him like you should, I hope that this is a challenge to all of us to follow Jesus, to surrender all and follow the call, to surrender our life to him, our decisions, our expectations, to surrender to him, to surrender it all, and then to follow him wherever he may lead, to do what he tells us to do. If you've never trusted Christ, I hope that you'll do that. If you have trusted Christ, I hope that you'll continue to follow him. Let me finish my story about Springfield, Missouri. So I was down there, first day, spent the night, got up the next morning. I had to go to the field house to register for classes for second semester. It's January, so I had to get some classes. 1,500 students at Baptist Bible College at that time. Pretty big school as far as I was concerned. And so we're all in line in the field house waiting to get registered. And I'm behind this really cute girl. And so I'm behind, and I'm not one to start up a conversation with somebody I don't know, but evidently she was. She started talking a mile a minute about where I was going and what I was doing and all these things. And so we had a good conversation. Found out that we were from about a half an hour apart in Ohio. Well, I thought that conversation was over. That conversation has been going on now for almost 40 years. As a matter of fact, considering the dating time, it has been over 40 years. That was Judy that was I was behind. And we got married a few years later, and we've been going ever since. And it just reminds me that, you know what, I felt like I was a failure. I felt like I wasn't going where I was supposed to be going. I should be in Southern California. Why am I in Springfield, Missouri? God, what are you doing? God was leading me the whole way. You see, when you follow Jesus, you just never know where you're going to end up. But as you follow Jesus, you always end up where you're supposed to end up. Can I challenge you, if you have never made that initial step to follow Jesus, would you consider doing that right now? It may be that you're watching this just for this moment, that Jesus has been, you know, challenging you in your life, and you've not taken that step, or you've surrendered your life to him to follow him. Can I ask you to do that today? I'm going to pray a prayer for you. And if you would like to pray a prayer, I'll kind of talk to you about what you could say. And so let me pray for you and challenge you to surrender your life to Jesus. So let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this story of Jesus and Peter and how patient Jesus was with Peter. And you are so patient with us. And Peter decided to surrender all and follow the call. And Father, those of us that have surrendered our life to you, help us to continue to follow you. And I pray for those who have never done that, maybe right now, this moment, this prayer that they will be praying to you, that they will admit that they're a sinner, that they believe in Jesus Christ, and they commit their life to him. Now, if you'd like to pray, receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, from your heart, I would love for you to pray a prayer like this. So let me just say a few words and then you can say it to God. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner and I believe in Jesus Christ. And today I surrender. I commit my life to Jesus. Please, God, save my soul. Amen. Now, if you really meant business, if it really came from your heart, Jesus saved your soul. The Bible says that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so we would love to help you in your walk with Jesus as you try to follow him. We've got some material that we'd like to send to you. We have a little booklet called Because I'm Saved, written by a good friend of mine from Southern California. And it says your next step to begin a closer walk with Christ. Great little book. And then a New Believer's Bible. It is a New Testament, but actually has a lot of help and notes in there for those who are still young in their faith or beginning a new walk. So if you're a brand new Christian or maybe you're getting a fresh start, please in the notes or somehow in the connection card, let us know. And we'd love to be able to send these to you. If you did trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you prayed that prayer, please let me know. Maybe in the notes, put, I decided to follow Jesus today. Or on the connection card, we would love for you to let us know about that. We would love to be able to encourage you in your walk with Jesus Christ.